I've just finished a series on the word, it is written, but I kind of didn't finish it because I kind of feel like I need to, y'all ignore her. I kind of feel like I got it well. I know, not kind of, I got to share one more message tonight, and I feel like it was for Wednesday night because sometimes the Wednesday night crowd can handle things that's hard for a Sunday morning crowd, just saying. So y'all can handle it, all right? And we're going to get there tonight. But anyway, the Christian life really is a life of faith. It is a life of trusting and depending and relying upon God. And, you know, sometimes we're backed in a corner, we're put in a situation where we just don't have any choice but to just trust God. Well, I guess there's always a choice, but, you know, sometimes the heat's on and we're just put in that place where, yeah, we're going to trust God. But really and truly, even when things are smooth sailing, even when things just kind of rolling along, it is to be a life of faith. We should be living by faith every day of our lives, relying on the Lord. And I want to say this, I say this frequently, but it needs to be said. It seems like a lot of believers consider faith to be some kind of a feeling. It just kind of comes on you. Either, you know, you have it or you don't, but it's just something that, you know, you can't help it if you don't have it. But that is not true at all. When you read the scripture, you see things like Jesus saying, have faith in God. He's not telling you to do something that you can't do. And I just want to say to you boldly and clearly tonight that faith is something that we choose to do. We choose to believe God. We choose to trust God. And just as we choose to believe that Jesus paid the price for our sins on the cross, we choose to believe that He's our shepherd, that He is leading and guiding us, taking care of us. We choose to believe that when we ask in faith, He gives us wisdom. That's what the Bible says. We choose to believe that He is providing for us, taking care of our needs. My God supplies all your needs according to His riches and glory. We choose to believe that He's protecting us. We choose to believe He gives us peace, that He gives us joy. We choose to believe the promises of God. I think the reason so many believers experience so little of God's power in their life is because there's so little faith. You know, many times Jesus said things to the disciples like, you of little faith. They had to grow up in their faith, and so do we. We have to learn to use our faith. How would you like to change the course of your life and see God move and work in your life in new ways? We all want that. And I'm just telling you tonight that the simple truths from the Word of God that we're going to talk about tonight, I really believe they can actually change the direction of your life, that it can actually make a difference in your life if you apply them. You know what? I'm just not into some kind of ritual religion where we just kind of go through the motions and play church. I really believe that God is a miracle-working God and that He has the power to change things in our life when we truly believe Him. First of all, I want to say to you, we need to speak what we believe. 2 Corinthians 4:13. It says, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, we've been talking about it is written, right? According to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. And I want you to see this pattern in the scripture here. He says, first of all, he's quoting another passage, but then he says, we also believe and therefore speak. And I'm telling you that when we really believe, we're supposed to speak it. It's supposed to come out of our mouth. It's not just something that we're hiding away in our heart. No, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, I understand sometimes that, you know, people are trying to believe, you know, they're sort of kind of, you know, they're choosing to believe, but they're struggling with doubts and unbelief. But when we really believe, I'm telling you, When your heart is truly full of faith, you say it out of your mouth. And here he says it very plainly. We also believe and therefore speak. A lot of the time, we're trying to believe, we're kind of wanting to believe, and we're still struggling because so much of the time we say what we see. We talk about the circumstances. In fact, if you listen to people very much, a lot of the time you'll hear people talking about the circumstances worse than they are. Like the children of Israel, when they sent in the 12 spies and 10 of them come back with a bad report, and they didn't just tell it like it was, they made it worse than it was. And it's just something about human nature, you know. I guess the news, the media is always trying to sensationalize everything. They get higher ratings that way. But we need to realize that as Christians that are walking by faith, we don't just say what we see. No, we say what we believe. We got to stick with God's word and stand on the word of God in our faith and say what we believe. I'm going to say this real clearly. Just saying it, that's not faith. It's when you believe it in your heart and you say it out of your mouth. We need to get this. We believe and therefore speak. It's not enough to just believe it in your heart. See, sometimes it is that little shadow of doubt that keeps us from boldly saying what we believe. I mean, if I say it out loud, if I say it with my mouth, then I'm out there. I mean, if I say it with my mouth, well, then what if it doesn't happen? Already planning on it not happening. See, when we really believe, we say it out of our mouth boldly in faith. I believe and therefore I speak. Listen, our words are a powerful expression of our faith. Romans 10, 9 and 10. You can turn there if you have your Bibles. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Here's a couple of verses that are used so often when you're talking about salvation. They talk about salvation. But I want you to see the principle of believing and speaking. He says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And here he explains it. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. He gives us this principle. He says, if you confess with your mouth, he said, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead. Now, in verse 9, it uses the word confess. And then in verse 10, it uses the word confession. We understand that to confess something is to say something. I mean, that's kind of the way a lot of people consider that word, that to confess it is to say it. But the real meaning of the word confess is not just, hey, say this. Okay, I'm going to say it. The real meaning of the word confess is to say the same thing as. That's what the Greek word means. That's what confess here means. It means to say the same thing as. You're not just saying anything. You're saying the same thing as. And in the context here, we're saying the same thing as God. We are in agreement with God. We're saying what God says. We believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and that he rose from the dead. And we believe it in our heart and we confess it. We say it out of our mouth. We're saying the same thing that God says. And I'm telling you, there's something supernatural that happens when you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth. You're born again. Now, I just want to say, this is the same guy under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that wrote in Ephesians 2:8, by grace are you saved through faith. And we are not adding anything to salvation by grace through faith. It is through faith. Salvation by grace through faith. Faith without works, James tells us, faith without works is dead. And here's the first expression of our faith is that we say, Jesus, the Son of God, died for me and rose from the dead. There's something powerful that happens when we believe and then we speak. Isaiah 53:5. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. Now, I changed some of these one word where it says our, I changed it to my, but I'm just telling you that we need to get this, that these things apply to us. See, we got to get it that the Word of God is for us. It is for our life. And so when he says he was wounded for my transgressions, he was bruised for my iniquity, I know I can say that. I can say the same thing as God. I can say the scripture. I can say the Word of God. And I know that those things are true. I believe it, and therefore I speak it. He was wounded for my transgressions, he was bruised for my iniquities, the price for my sin. I tell you, he's already paid it. Can we say that? Can we say he was bruised for my iniquities? Listen, in the same verse, he says, the chastisement of my peace was upon him. He suffered so I could have peace. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. It's the same verse. It's amazing to me how so many believers, they don't have any problem with scriptures about salvation. But when you start talking about any other promises and blessings, they're like, whoa, I don't know about that. It's the same verse. And I tell you, we need to have the same mentality that we can believe and we can speak that over our life. Same verse. And by his stripes, I'm healed. He was wounded so that I could be healed. Oh, how we need to believe that and speak that out loud over our life. Now, I get this, that for some people, this idea, this thing that preacher's talking about tonight, saying this out loud, what's the deal with that? It is absolutely scripture. I showed it to you already. He says, we believe and therefore speak. We see and we know how important it is that in salvation you believe in the heart and you confess with the mouth. Why don't we understand that principle about the rest of the Word of God? It's so powerful if we'll apply that in our life. Surely, backing up one verse, Isaiah 53:4, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. I don't have to be depressed and down. He bore my grief. He carried my sorrow. John 15:11, these things I've spoken to you that my joy may remain in you, that your joy may be full. My joy is full because Jesus' joy is in me. And you notice he says, these things I've spoken unto you. You know what? Sometimes you got to get in the Word of God, and Jesus, the things he's spoken to you will bring joy. But you start speaking in faith. And I know that a lot of people, especially religious people, are going to think that you're weird, that you've gone off the deep end. You've become one of those crazy faith people. That's right, like Jesus. Y'all too quiet. But I'm just going to go ahead and preach this because I believe some of you are going to get it. Mark chapter 11, Jesus cursed a fig tree and it dried up. How'd that happen? Well, he got up, you know, early one morning, and in his prayer time, he prayed that that fig tree would die. No, that's not how it happened at all. He was walking by, wanted something to eat. There's no figs on this fig tree, and so he cursed the fig tree, and it died. That's how it happened. He spoke it with the words of his mouth, and it died. And then he says, Mark 11:22, "So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says, I know that these verses have been used and abused in all kinds of weird ways, but they are Jesus speaking, Jesus teaching about faith. He says, have faith in God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever says," he's talking about speaking, "to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says." See, he believes those things he says, not just because he says it, and not just because he believes it, but he believes it and he says it. He will have whatever he says. If anyone says to this mountain, who's this for? Anyone. If anyone. Anyone. It's kind of like, who's the gospel for? Whosoever will. Anyone. If anyone says, anyone who has faith in God can use this powerful principle. See, mountain. What's he talking about? I have never seen anybody move a mountain. Never seen it happen. Don't need to. Jesus wasn't talking about moving dirt. But all of us have battles. All of us have obstacles in our life. All of us have challenges in our life like a great mountain. And we need to get to the place where we believe and we speak to that mountain. We speak to that obstacle, to that battle. You speak to those issues, to those problems. And I'm going to tell you, this passage, Jesus is teaching us to bring the power of confession in our prayer, where we are agreeing with the Word of God. Now, I want to get this across real clearly here. I'm not talking about you just going around saying weird stuff and acting religious and saying, you know, one of the advantages of being old is you have seen just about everything. I mean, I still see some new things, right? But I have seen so many silly, crazy things. People say the dumbest stuff. And there's been all kinds of weird doctrines over the last 40 years. I heard one lady testify one night. She says, "Well, I used to call my little daughter a stinker. And then I figured out that that's why her feet always stunk. That's why her feet smelled so bad, is because I had been calling her a stinker." I'm like, "Lady, your kids' feet stink because they're feet." That's not what Jesus was talking about here. It's not a word game. These people going around trying to catch somebody else saying something wrong. Watch them listen to them for 5 minutes and they'll do the same thing. That's not what this passage is about. This is about the power of believing and confessing, speaking what you believe. And how do you get this faith? Where do you get this faith? How can you believe? It has to be based on the Word of God. It's not just an idea you had. This attitude where people say things like, "Money come to me, money come to me." That's a spirit of witchcraft. You can pick up a book on witchcraft. It has the same principle in it. That's not what I'm talking about tonight. I'm talking about basing your faith on the Word of God and confessing what you believe. Speaking the same thing. See, that's what confession is. It's saying the same thing as. Saying the same thing is what God says. Sometimes we go to God in prayer and you know, we have our prayer list, and that's a good thing, and we should go to God with our needs, but it's not about just trying to get God to do what we want. No, effective prayer is asking God to do what he wants. Jesus said, pray this way, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. 1 John chapter 5 tells us if we ask anything according to his will, we know that he hears us. And if he hears us, we know we have the petitions that we've asked of him. You got to ask according to the will of God. If you're asking God to do something that he doesn't want to do, well, that's just stupid. In the first place, what makes you think he's going to do what he doesn't want to do? And in the second place, why would you want God to do something he doesn't want to do? Because he knows what's best for us. But if it's according to the will of God, we can ask in faith and believe. And so what I'm saying to you is that this faith where we believe and therefore we speak, we're not asking God to do something he doesn't want to do. No, we're simply standing on God's word and speaking the things that we see in his word. And I want to say that's crazy. Okay. To me, crazy is to believe in an almighty God who loves us and wants to bless us, but he doesn't do miracles and he doesn't respond when we believe. He just ignores us. That's crazy. That's not in the Bible. You believe in your heart and you say it with your mouth. Words spoken in faith have great power. If anyone says to this mountain, doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes what he's saying, he'll have what he says. God operates through faith. He spoke the worlds into being by the words of his mouth. Psalm 33:6. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Now we know this because we read it in Genesis chapter 1. Verse 3, and God said, let there be light. There it was. Verse 6, God said, let there be firmament. Verse 9, God said, let there be dry ground. Verse 11, God said, let there be grass and trees. Verse 14, God said, let there be lights in the heavens. Verse 20, let the water be full of creatures and let birds fly above the earth. Verse 24, and God said, let the earth bring forth bring forth every living creature. Verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our own image. God said, and it happened every time. That's the power of God's words. When he speaks, it happens. Everything he did by speaking. His word has tremendous authority and power. So when we speak God's word, confession, when we're saying the same thing as God, it has authority and it has power. Get in agreement with God. Say what God says. Speaking the word of God. That's how we do spiritual warfare. Ephesians 6:17. It is the word of God is the sword of the Spirit. Use the word of God. You don't tell the devil, because I said so. That might work on your kids. On the devil, you need to use the word of God. Amen. You speak the word of God, I tell you, it is an expression of your faith. It's a declaration of your faith. And when you proclaim it in faith, it has the same power, the word of God. See, when you proclaim the word of God in faith, it has the same power that brought the worlds into existence. He calls those things that be not as though they were. Romans 4:17, it's talking about Abraham. And it says, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. God tells Abraham that his descendants are going to be like the stars in the sky, the sand on the seashore. He has none. But God calls those things that are not as though they were. And we need to understand that when we're speaking the word of God in faith, yes, we're saying something contrary to what we see. That's why it's faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Abraham, 100 years old before he had that promised son, but God called him the father of many nations way before it happened. And Abraham believed God. Now get this, it wasn't just some idea that Abraham had. Why would he? His wife had always been barren. Why would he think? No, he had a word from God. And when you have a word from God, you need to believe it and speak it. So many people lose hope. They just give up. They're looking at things that are impossible with man. But Jesus said, all things are possible to him who believes. Hear the words of Jesus. He always talks about faith. Always talking about how we need to have faith. Always talking about the awesome things, powerful things that happen when people believe. Ezekiel. In chapter 37, God tells Ezekiel to prophesy to dry bones, to speak life into them. He was talking about the nation of Israel. It seemed like that all was lost, but God says he's going to raise them up again. Oh, how churches this year, we need to hear that. That God is going to raise them up again. God is going to restore. God is going to bless. But I just want you to see this. Ezekiel was told to speak to the dry bones, but he was also told to speak to the four winds. Jesus wasn't the only one that ever commanded winds. No, you see, God told him to do it. And you know what he did? He said it. Now get this. God could have bypassed Ezekiel. He didn't need Ezekiel to do his work. God could have raised him up. He could have caused the four winds to bring life into them. But he tells Ezekiel, speak it. You speak it. Ezekiel being the good prophet, you know what he does? He does what God said. He speaks what God told him to say. A great vision that God gave to Ezekiel to show him how that even though it looked impossible, even though it seemed like it was too late, even though it looked like it was over, he was going to raise his people up and make them strong once again. And so he says to speak to those dry bones. You see, it doesn't matter if you're speaking to a mountain, you're speaking to a fig tree, you're speaking to dry bones. You might be speaking to some debt. You might be speaking to a dried up marriage. You might be speaking to the powers of darkness that are oppressing you. But I'm just telling you, you need to speak to it. You need to have a word from God and get in agreement with the word of God and say what God says about it. But this book is full of promises. It's full of blessings. It is full of spiritual truths that are eternal. And we need to believe these words and say them. They're powerful. Now, some people make a game out of confession. They confess all kinds of weird things that aren't in the Bible. They don't have a basis, a scriptural basis for. And they turn it into some kind of a ritual. Or they turn it into a work. In other words, okay, well, if I just say it enough times, I've said it 475 times, maybe the 476th time, I'm just going to say it and say it and say it the 1,000th time. It's not a game. It's not a ritual. We're not trying to earn a miracle from God. No, we just believe, and so we say what we believe. We believe, and therefore we speak. And where do we get this faith? From the Word of God. Not from an idea, not from some fantasy we have. No, it's a word from God. How's faith come? Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's how we believe. We hear the Word of God. Now, hearing it, it's talking about receiving it. It can be you reading it yourself. But I tell you, so often you can just hear the Word of God, and all of the sudden, the Holy Spirit speaks to you. I tell you, it's amazing. I do a lot more, you know, preaching myself than sitting in a service, although I listen to other preachers online and those kinds of things. But it's amazing to me how often God will speak to me while somebody else is preaching. And a lot of the time, it doesn't even have anything to do with their message. But whether it is from the written word or the Holy Spirit speaking a word to you, you need to take that word and believe it in your heart and say it out of your mouth. Start reading your Bible, and you just, especially in the New Testament, I'm just going to say, especially in the New Testament, in the Gospels where Jesus ministered to people, and you start taking note of what people said. Words are so powerful when it comes to faith. A woman with an issue of blood for 12 years in Mark chapter 5 spent all of her money going to doctors. She just got worse. But she hears about Jesus. She comes up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. And in Mark 5:28, this is what it says. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I will be made well. For she said, if only I can touch his clothes, I will be made well. This was her confession of faith. If only I can touch his clothes, I will be made well. Hey, sometimes I've seen these healing meetings, and you know, sometimes I've watched them on TV, and I think, man, Lord, that's just weird, some of this stuff that's going on. But people are healed. You know why? Because they went to that meeting and thought, if I go to this meeting and brother so-and-so or sister whoever lays hands on me, I'm going to be healed. And I'm telling you, so often it is that point of contact of our faith where we believe that if this happens, then I'm going to be healed. That's what happened to this woman. She said with her mouth. Jesus says, it tells us that the fountain of her blood was dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed immediately. And Jesus, knowing that power had gone out from him, he turns around and he says, who touched my clothes? And the disciples say, the whole crowd is thronging you. What do you mean, who touched me? But Jesus looks around, and the woman was afraid, trembling, because she knew what had happened to her. And she falls down before him, and he says, daughter, your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. Jesus didn't pick this woman out of the crowd and say, hey, you, I'm going to heal you. No, she said, if I can touch his garment, if I can touch his clothes, I know I'm going to be healed. In that same chapter, Jesus raises a little girl from the dead. He goes to the place where the little girl is, and he puts everybody out. He won't let anybody else in there with him except for Peter, James, and John. And then he goes there where all these people are weeping and wailing. And this is what he says in verse 39. He says, why make this commotion and weep? This child is not dead, but asleep. Oh my. You better have faith. But Jesus calls those things that be not as though they were. And he says, this child is not dead, but asleep. Then, when he put everybody else outside, they all ridiculed him. And so he puts them all outside. Verse 41 tells us, he took the child by the hand and he said to her, Talitha kumi, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. He said, little girl, I say to you, arise. How this happened? He said, little girl, I say to you, arise. When Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead, the Bible tells us in John 11, 41, he prayed, Father, I thank you that you heard me. I know that you always hear me, but because of the people standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now, when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. You prayed. You believe. Now speak it. When did Lazarus rise from the dead? Was it when Jesus prayed? No. It's when he called him out. Lazarus, come forth. You see this principle over and over and over in the scripture. Peter, who was there when the little girl was raised in the book of Acts in chapter 9, Peter does the same thing. When he raises a woman from the dead, he puts everybody else out. He goes in and he prays, and then he speaks to her and raises her up just like Jesus had done. He speaks to her. I'm just telling you, yes, pray, yes, believe, but then speak what you believe. It's powerful. We read this in the scripture, how that there's power of death and life in the tongue. And when we are agreeing with God, when we are speaking the same thing as what God says, how powerful is that? Jesus has a centurion come to him in Matthew chapter 8, and he asked Jesus to come and heal his servant, or he doesn't ask, he says, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed and dreadfully tormented, and Jesus says, I'll come and heal him. And then the centurion says, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. To another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. You see, this Roman centurion understood authority. He understood how powerful his words were. He said, if you just speak the word, that's good enough. Jesus told him, go your way, as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. Words. Oh, they're powerful. We know this. Two little words, I do, can change your life forever. That's right. And words can destroy a marriage too. By your words, you can bring blessing on your family, or you can bring a curse on your family. You can bring blessing on a business, or you can bring trouble on a business. I'm just telling you, your words are powerful, and they are supernaturally powerful when you are saying what God says. When your confession is in agreement with God, and listen, I'm not talking about trying to work something up. I'm talking about believing the word of God and speaking it out of your mouth over your situation. And all of us deal with life every day. Every day there are areas of our life where we need to be applying this principle in our life. I believe, and therefore I speak. Now, tonight, as you leave tonight, I have a few pages of scriptures just to help you get started with speaking the word of God over your life. But I challenge you, let it just be a springboard for you to start, because the scripture is full of promises and blessings and truths that you need to believe and speak over your life. And yes, sometimes you may speak it over your life for a long time. But it's not a matter of how many times I said it. No, it's a matter of trusting God and believing, even when you don't see it, that you believe what God has said and you say it out of your mouth. What I'm sharing with you tonight, you know, we hear so much about faith, but sometimes this is a piece that we don't talk about enough. It is so important what you're saying out of your mouth. It's not a game. It is an expression of faith. And so often that's where the breakthrough comes. And you see that in the ministry of Jesus. You see that in the apostles. And we need to get to the place where we don't just pray about it, but then we're bold enough to express our faith by saying it. So I just encourage you to get those scriptures and just decide that you're going to start making this a part of your spiritual walk with the Lord, that you're not just praying about things, but you're also speaking what God says. You're saying the same thing as what God says. I'm not going to preach it all over again. I'm going to let you go. Stand with me. We're going to pray.